Welcome to the Community of Hope Church podcast. Our church exists to interest disinterested people in Jesus Christ and then grow together into fully devoted followers of Him. So wherever you are, we hope you find this message helpful, practical, and applicable to your life. God bless.
Well, hello, everybody, and Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you. It's an honor to spend a few moments and to be invited into your home in this important time. I certainly want to take a moment, of course, to thank our wonderful church. That would be you guys for your incredible generosity that gives us an opportunity to step in again to our established tradition, right, to take the Sunday after Christmas off from corporate worship on all of our campuses. It really gives our volunteers and our staff the needed opportunity to take a break, to be with their families, to celebrate. And we don't take it for granted, and we're super excited to participate in this. So this would be why I'm coming to you today in this fashion, and grateful and honored to do that. So I was thinking about a passage of Scripture to read for us and give us an opportunity to reflect on for a few moments. And when we began our Christmas series in Wonder earlier in December, reading the most familiar passage of Scripture, I think arguably in the New Testament, telling the Christmas story, I thought it would be a cool idea maybe even to end the season and to end the series with this idea. And so I'm going to read again to you the passage of Scripture, Luke chapter 2. Verses 1 through 14. And hey, here's an opportunity if you want. You can hit pause on the video, and maybe there's somebody there in your circle or in your home that would want to take a moment and you'd want to read it to one another. You can certainly do that now. So here it is, Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 14. This is in the New King James Version. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. Now the census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria, so all went to be registered, everyone, to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was from the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for him in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone all around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So this is a classic passage of Scripture. And in fact, I shared earlier in December, I think it's really arguably the most well-known and well-remembered passage of Scripture in the Bible concerning the Christmas story. It's Luke's version, but it's Luke's version, not only is that familiar to us, it's Luke's version which is the version that Linus read in the classic tale of Charlie Brown Christmas. I was thinking about that because it generated a lot of conversation when I shared that. So many of you came up and shared your stories about watching Charlie Brown's Christmas when you were growing up. You have your stories. I have my own. I remember back in the day, in fact, I was reading that Charlie Brown Christmas first appeared in 1965, which would have made me 3 years old when it started. And I can remember all growing up, my mom telling us when that special was going to come on, and she would invite us in. In fact, this is kind of how it happened. Back in the day, we would get a newspaper that would magically appear in our driveway every day. And on the weekend, the paper would come, and inside the paper was this thing called TV guide. Now, I know you guys think I'm crazy, but this is really what would happen. And my dad would ask one of our, my brothers or myself to run out into the driveway and to drag the paper back into the house. And my mom would open the paper. She would get the TV guide. She would look at the TV guide, and then she would make a note of all the Christmas specials that were going to be happening through December. She'd keep them in her calendar. And so we'd come home from school in the afternoon, and she would announce to us, announce to the family that, you know, this such and such special was on tonight. We were to come in the house early. We were to get our bath. We were to put on our pajamas. We were to brush our teeth. Now, as a parent, I realized really all she was doing was, kind of hacking the systems to get us in our pajamas, to get us to brush our teeth, to get us to take a bath. And so, Mom, I see you there. But anyhow, we would watch the show, and it was a special show. And maybe you remember it. Charlie Brown Christmas was Charlie Brown's quest to find the real meaning of Christmas. And that was the special. In fact, you might remember some specials. In fact, here's what I would do. Take a moment and talk amongst yourselves as a family as to what is your favorite Christmas special that you like to watch every year. I hope that was fun to be able to share your different Christmas specials. So this would be mine. And here's what I remember about it. Like I said, this was Charlie Brown's quest, of course, to find the true meaning of Christmas. And he's somewhat confused until Linus helps him out and reads to him the classic passage of scripture that you and I just focused on. Now, it's interesting because at the beginning of December, we looked at it from the angle of observing how the angel tells Mary to behold this moment. So we talked about the idea of wonder, and we talked about behold being wonder's first required word. But I want to tell you this morning that I think there's another challenge in this passage of scripture, one that we could easily take from the ending of one year and the beginning of a new year. And it really happens in the first part of Luke chapter 2, verse 10. And it happens when the angel tells them, "Fear not." So it's interesting to consider that "fear not" is the most universal command in all of Scripture. I did a little count. The words "fear not" appear actually 125 times in the Bible. So arguably, it's the most universal command. And I think it's instructive for us to think about as we begin to anticipate the new year. I'm always happy to know that the most often quoted command of Scripture isn't "straighten up." It's not "straighten up and fly right." Some of you might think it is. Some of you have experienced religion that would tell you that's the most universal command. I'm here to tell you it's not. It's not "better luck next time," which I think is so helpful for us. We experience so many things in our own humanity, and all of us know what it's like to kind of swing and to miss, and life is a series of ups and downs and ins and outs and all that. And when we study the scripture, I think it's important and instructive and helpful to remember that's not the most universal command. The most universal command in all of scripture is "fear not." And that's helpful. Now, I think it's important to remember, right, that fear, in a way, has its place. In fact, if I were to give you a definition of fear, I would tell you, and I would use this definition, fear is a self-correcting mechanism that creates sensations just unpleasant enough to motivate us to take action to distance ourselves from what it might be that threatens us. So healthy fear is a good thing. All of us should have healthy fear. You know, maybe fear of heights or fear of something hot. Our little grandson spent most of the year walking around the kitchen this year, and he would point out the stove and he would just go, "Hot." And they had helped him understand, you're to stay away from the stove, stay away from the oven. So healthy fear is a good thing, but that's not really what the scripture is talking about. And the scriptures aren't talking about irrational fear. Some of us have irrational fear. I remember a writing, I think a column I read many years ago by a columnist by the name of Dave Barry. Dave Barry was a local legend really for us down here. He was a columnist with the Miami Herald for many years. And he wrote about irrational fear. I remember this quote. I've kept it. And he says this. He says, all of us are born with a set of instinctive fears. The fear of falling, the fear of dark, the fear of lobsters, the fear of falling onto lobsters in the dark. And especially during this time of the year, of course, the dreaded words, some assembly required. Reminds me of a guy who was going to have a difficult conversation with his employer, with his boss. And he was really concerned about the conversation, and the date was coming up for the talk, and he was nervous about it. And so one evening at dinner, he told his wife, he said, you know, I'm nervous about what's going to happen Thursday. I don't know how I'm going to handle it. And he goes, when I get nervous, he said, my mouth dries up and I it's hard for me to talk. And then a few moments later, he walked through and he called out his wife again. He said, yeah, I'm nervous about what's going to happen Thursday. And he said, whenever I get nervous, he said, my palms begin to sweat uncontrollably. It's weird. And he walked through the kitchen a little bit later and he said, I'm so nervous about Thursday. I don't know what to do. And his wife called out to him and she said, wait a minute. You were saying when you get nervous, your mouth gets dry. And when you get nervous, your palms sweat. So right before you talk to him, lick your palms. Come on. That was pretty good. All right. Well, anyhow, here's the kind of fear we're actually talking about. We're talking about the fear, I think, where our circumstances are big and our God seems small. That's the kind of fear that I think the angels are speaking to. Not healthy fear, not irrational fears, but the real life down on the ground, common to humanity fears that all of us experience. The phone call from the doctor, the discovery again that your child is manifesting in their addiction, the relational conflict that never gets better, only gets worse, the idea that the next year might have transition for you, for which you're fearful of. I'm thankful that woven into the Christmas story and woven into, of course, beyond the Christmas story, the truth of Scripture is a God who sees our humanity and promises to be with us. One other verse of Scripture I think that speaks to this comes a little bit later from Paul's words to Timothy. Paul wrote two letters to Timothy that are embedded in the New Testament. We know them as pastoral epistles. They're called pastoral epistles because Paul was going to hand his ministry over to Timothy. He is in the waning, frankly, scholars believe the waning months of his life. And I imagine that was an uncertain time. That was a fearful time. But here's what Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. He says, be reminded, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of power and of love and of discipline. What better reminder do we need to take us into the new year than a powerful promise like that? C.S. Lewis, whose own life was radically transformed by Jesus Christ, and if you know the history of his life, faced a lot of fear, faced a lot of uncertainty, reached the place in his own journey when he said this. He said, I have learned that there is actually no neutral ground whatsoever in the universe. Every square inch, every single second is either claimed by God or counterclaimed by Satan. So it's true, really, to think about it. I mean, we're in a battle, but we're not undefended in the battles we experience. We have a God who's with us. We not only have a God who's with us, We have a God who is powerful and reminds us we don't have to fear. So the challenge for us, really, I think the promise for us in a new year is to grow a faith larger than the circumstances you're currently experiencing. And I think, again, woven into the Christmas story, man, there's some wonderful ideas that I think we can pull out of what we've been learning in December, take it with us into January. I think of it this way. When I think about what the shepherds did, the shepherds discovered for themselves the promises of the God that we're talking about right now. In fact, think about it this way. In Luke chapter 2:15, the verse immediately following what we just read, Luke records it this way. He says, "When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has happened, which the Lord has told us about.'" They went on their own journey. What about you? What are you going to do this year to increase your faith, to increase your understanding, to tamp down the real fears that sometimes beset us in a new year? We could do what the shepherds did. The shepherds went to discover for themselves. Maybe this next year is a great opportunity for you to discover for yourself. Not to rely on, you know, your parents' religion, your grandmother's religion, your neighbor's religion, but maybe your own religion and your own discovery of who Jesus actually is. And then there's one more, of course. Maybe you'd expect me to say it. We could do, of course, what Mary did. The Bible tells us in verse 19 that Mary treasured all of the promises that she was told and pondered them in her heart. You know what I think about when I think about my favorite Christmas television show, Charlie Brown's Christmas? There's that moment where Linus, when he's reading the text, he takes the blanket off, his security blanket that he carried with him everywhere, and he wrapped it around the Christmas tree. It was a powerful moment. And one you could easily miss, but it was a reminder that God is actually bigger than the fears we manifest in our lives. Now, that's a word for all of us. That's a word all of us can take into the new year. And that's my promise that you do, and my hope that you do. Let's pray together. Lord, I want to thank you for this time and for this space. I thank you, God, that you're with us. I thank you that you're willing to be with us. Sometimes, Lord, we can hear versions of the Christmas story that make you distant and far off and detached and disconnected to the human story, but they're untrue. You're deeply involved in the affairs of humanity. And in this moment, Lord Jesus, as we prepare to transition from one year to the next, we invite you to be deeply involved in the affairs of our humanity, especially those parts of our humanity where our fears are larger than our faith. God, use this next year to teach us new and wonderful things and grow our faith past our fear. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God bless you to you. Merry Christmas to you and your family, and Happy New Year. We'll see you soon.